Hello and welcome in to our first ever episode of the award-winning Buck 92.3 Sports Show. We retooled, regrouped, and are now ready for a new kind of season with two new people and three new guests coming on throughout the whole episode and throughout the whole season. I'm your sports director, Austin Shattuck, and joined alongside me is JW in the Morning, Jeremy Wood. Jeremy, how are we doing today?
Doing wonderful, Austin. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, excited to get this show back together. I know it's been a long time coming. Kyle Sandel was the last one to get this kind of show up and running. What are you looking forward to with the show coming up?
I'm just going to have fun and learn about all the guests that we're going to have. We've got a bunch of guests lined up coming up, and we're just going to have a bunch of guests throughout the whole season and just get to behind the scenes and learn about them and just have a great time with the sports show.
Yeah, on our Facebook page, if you haven't paid attention to that, please do. We've previewed our first, obviously, episode coming up here. We'll have our first guest later on in today's episode, the athletic director, the head coach of Mount Pleasant football, Coach Jason McIntyre. He will be on very shortly, but, you know, a lot of other special guests coming out, like Jeremy said, throughout the season. Brian Pruitt, a famous CMU running back and now a motivational speaker out of Saginaw, Michigan, currently where I live, if you haven't heard me say that. Throughout our sports broadcast throughout the season, we'll have Louis Vito, an Olympic snowboarder, one of the oldest Olympic snowboarders now in the Olympics. We'll have Trav Moore coming up very soon, and we'll have just a lot of guests. Jeremy, do you have any guests in mind that you would want to add to the show?
Yeah, we also got Alex Rodriguez, a high school wrestler for St. Louis High School there, and he won a state title. And I found out with my interview with him that he is a four-time finalist. He was in the finals all 4 years of his college, high school. He was in his freshman year. He was runner-up. Sophomore year, he won the state title. Junior year, he was runner-up. And then his senior year, of course, he won the state title again this year. So we got a lot of excellent guests and a lot of fun guests coming up. And if you're out there listening and you want to be a guest on the sports show, get a hold of Austin and I. My email is jeremy@wczy.net. Get a hold of me, or you can get a hold of Austin at wczy.net, and we'll get you on here and just have fun talking sports.
Yeah, you know, one-on-one conversations, just, you know, talking sports, like Jeremy said, getting activated, because this county here is kind of underrepresented with sports, at least with the high school level. We have a lot of talented athletes in this area. You know, my first year covering the five Isabella County teams, there were just a lot of tremendous talent, either on the gridiron, which is the football field, if you don't know what that is, or the hardwood, which is the basketball court. You know, obviously wrapping up winter sports here in the last couple of weeks, Noah Zion comes to mind for Sacred Heart Academy, moving into first place in all-time scoring history in points total at Sacred Heart Academy, passing one of his, you know, older teammates, I guess you could say, from a couple of years ago. Xavier Crazier, who Coach McIntyre will talk about it coming up in this podcast later on tonight. And I know there's a lot of talented athletes in your area too as well, Jeremy. Who are they?
Yeah, you got Gibson Rondi down there, quarterback for Ithaca High School, and just a lot of great athletes all around us, not just in Isabella County or Gratiot County, but there's all around us, Midland County, Clare County. We just got so many phenomenal athletes in this area that don't get the recognition that they deserve. And if you want to be recognized, right here, Buck 92 Sports Show.
Award-winning Buck 92.3 Sports Show, because we have, obviously Kyle won the award last year, but, you know, we're trying to get another award this year.
Yep.
Through the MABs, and we're hoping for a lot of insight and a lot of positive comments, or negative. Either way, it's a learning curve here through these first couple of episodes with this show. And it's just going to be a great show with, obviously, myself, the sports director here at Latitude Media, and then JW in the Morning, Jeremy Wood, with all of our insights. Two brains is always better than one, and sometimes, well, pretty much every time, we're going to have three brains just chatting sports.
Three, maybe four, who knows, we might have show up on the show.
Yeah, I know, because later on, you said you had some St. Louis wrestlers coming on, too, as well, later on, so we'll have four brains on that show as well. So it's just going to be a great environment. Talking sports, which everybody loves. I mean, sports just unites people.
Yeah.
You talk about the hectic month coming up, March Madness around the corner.
Yeah, that's going to be coming up.
You know, have that on during your Monday night sports games, and it's just going to be a great time talking about sports, Jeremy.
Austin, yeah, we're going to have a great time doing this, and we'll be right back with our interview with Coach Mack on the Buck 92 Sports Show.
Welcome back to this week's episode of the Buck 92.3 Sports Show. Joined alongside me, Jeremy Wood, Austin Shattuck, and of course, the head football coach I mentioned before we went to break, Jason McIntyre, not only the head football coach, but the athletic director here at Mount Pleasant High School. Let's address the elephant in the room before we get going. Obviously, a great season on the football field, getting back to Ford Field for the first time since the 2011-2012 season when you were a coach there as well. Kind of walk us through that football season and your star players. Who was the potential star players in that season?
So, yeah, I mean, you look back at this year coming into the year, didn't know really what to expect. We were coming off a good season, but maybe not up to the standards that we were kind of used to in the program over the 3 years prior to that. And, we knew we had some experience off that 6-5 year. But you never know going to season. And obviously, talking to you, you never know what you're going to have at the quarterback position. You really don't know what kind of season you're going to have. And those were question marks going to season. But, you know, after you're reflecting on the season as a whole and the incredible run we made and, you know, winning the Valley Championship and, you know, all those awesome things, like, and then you look back at who those top performers were. Obviously, a lot of people want to talk about Xavier Crazier, a quarterback who had all sorts of record-breaking statistics and did crazy things for us in the season that really special. But I think you talk about the heart and soul of the team. You always look at your leadership, especially from your senior class. You look at someone like Grant Phillips, who really is the reason that the energy and everything flowed into that season, in the off season, and got guys to buy in and do things. And then, you had some special talents like Riley Olson, Jack Mazurkovich, Will Garcia. I think you can talk about a lot of things, but in order to have the kind of season we had, a lot of things have to come together, not only in your schedule and in the season, but also in how guys play together and that you stay healthy. And I think that's one of the things that you see happen in that season was the right kind of leadership with the right kind of talent in the right places, staying healthy, finding ways to win games, even on tough nights, and then letting everything just start to roll.
And it all started kind of back in the summer workouts when you guys started lifting early. And your start to the season was pretty much a gauntlet. Three of the first four games were on the road. Your first home game didn't come in till week three against Dow, and that was a tough opponent. We were there for week one against Heritage, my alma mater. Walk us through that win, what you saw on the field there.
Yeah, I think that was when people say, like, when did you think maybe you had something special? Like, in the summer, you just never know, right? But Heritage has really developed into a strong program the last few years. Coach Thielen's done a great job over there, and they got us the last 2 years, and we thought we were pretty dang good in 2 years prior, and they thumped us pretty good over that place. And then last year, the year we were 6-5 in 2024, they came in here and got after us pretty good too. So that was gonna be a true test to start the year, and we knew it would be over there. And I think that's where we first found out that we had something in Xavier, right? He really broke out and had, I think, the game to start with was kind of back and forth a little bit. And then all of a sudden we had a 3rd and long backed up in our own territory, and Xavier stepped up in the pocket, took a hit and threw it to Rodriguez right down the middle and made a big play. And 2 plays later, we hit Jack Mazurkic on a long pass. And all of a sudden you're like, okay, these are our guys, right? This is how we're going to roll. And so, yeah, that win was really big and kind of like, okay, I think we have something here now. And then, like you said, the Dow game at our place, the home opener, which turned out to be, that team turned out to be an incredible team, right? That was their only loss of the season. We put, I think, 63 points up that game. A lot of things went our way. So, things just start clicking. That's when you kind of found out that this maybe was going to be a special season.
Leading up to that, I guess, state championship to Ford Field, walk us through the moment, some of your highlights through the middle of the season, the playoffs. Walk us through that season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's so many things when you play 14 football games, right, that you think through. And, I think one of the huge points in our game was the Bay City Western game at their place when we were playing about as poorly as we could play. That's a really tough place to play for anybody who's ever been there before. And we were down late. I mean, I really thought, like, the vibe was we were going to lose that football game. And you saw Graham Phillips put the team on his shoulders, go in at running back when he hadn't been there and make a block for Xavier Crazier, and he takes it 70 yards to win, and then Graham seals it with another touchdown later. So that was really a defining moment in the toughness and the grit of our team to be able to pull out on that. And then I think really that Gaylord game was a special game just because we had some really – tough opponents to try to win a district since those years when we made those runs in a row back, you mentioned earlier. And then we've had some really good teams along the way, some special teams that faced really tough opponent in their district. DeWitt twice, Forest Hills Central won a state championship. Those teams were in our district. So to kind of add a wooden mitten back to the trophy case was really nice. And I think that game, and we were rolling on all. I mean, we came ready to play that night, and anybody was there. I mean, I don't remember what we had at halftime, but we were, I think it was 40-some points at halftime, you know, and that was against a quality team that had a good year. So, yeah, I think that was the only 10-0 game in the state that weekend. And so that was a really big win, and I think it gave us the confidence that next week against East Grand Rapids, who was a tremendous team. But and that playoff run was just us continuing to build on what we did the week before. And that Lowell game, I still remember saying to the guys on the headset, do we have a running clock in the state semifinals, you know what I mean? And that shocked me too, because that was a really good football team we were playing. But man, we clicked. And then you talked about the state finals, one running into probably one of the best top four or five football teams in the entire state, regardless of class, in DeWitt, and talking to Coach Zimmerman, he thinks it's maybe the best football team he's ever had. And that says a lot if you know the history and tradition at that school. And then I think the environment, I was ready for a second time there and tried to prep our guys for, like, you know, listen, we got to get through all the chaos of the emotions and the lights and the Ford Field. And we tried to do some things, but I still think it got to us. And once we settled down, we put pretty good football.
Yeah, the second half was a lot better than the first half.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, they took their two opening. We kind of lost our minds a little bit the first two defensive series, and they scored pretty quick. And then we got hit Riley on that big touchdown pass to cut it to a touchdown, and then they rolled for a while. But right before half, we started to kind of get a feel for things, and we put a drive, and we scored. And then we come out, stop, and we score. And then, man, we were going down to make it, I think, like a 15-point game or something. And when we threw that interception, you know, after that. Like, so, I mean, like, I was just proud of the way we battled and kind of showed everybody who we really were. It would have took a tremendous effort to stay with them for four quarters, but I think those two quarters in the middle showed that we belonged and we could play with them. And that was the team we were the two previous weeks. So, you know, that was the disappointment, kind of in the bright lights and all things at Ford Field.
So you mentioned Xavier Crazier early on when I asked you those questions. What kind of work did he have to put in through the offseason to kind of be one of the better quarterbacks in the SVL North?
Xavier's story is pretty crazy. I mean, torn ACL in middle school, rehabbed, played 1 year of middle school football, came in not quite ready his freshman year to play yet because of the injury, and so sat out his freshman year of football but played basketball and ran track. Came in as a sophomore, ready to either compete as a DB on the varsity, maybe a quarterback, but he played JV. First game of his JV year, tears his ACL again. So he really played about 4 minutes of high school football up until last year. And so not trying to figure out what you had, you saw a kid who, when he worked out, looked special and threw the ball really well and do things, but you don't know, right? And he works hard. He comes from a family that really is an athletic family and believes in hard work and all the right things you want in athletics. And so mindset-wise and dedication-wise, I knew we had a really good guy. But we have a lot of those kind of guys in this program, which is why we win. And so wasn't sure, right? We went into that first game, not sure. We were playing two quarterbacks at that time. And Xavier just kind of grabbed the bull by the horn and said, let's go. And you saw him break off a couple of big runs that game. I talked about a couple of big passes he hit in that Heritage game. And every week he just slowly started to get more and more confidence and more and more ability. And it was just really fun to see him develop. He carried us a lot in a lot of big games.
And that's one thing, you know, when you come back from a big injury like that, to be able to build that confidence and, you know, be able to, like, okay, yeah, no, it's healthy and we're going to go. And then, you know, like you said, you know, the Heritage game, he took off and then he just kept rolling with it. And, you know, he got that confidence and just kind of went with it.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're super nervous about it as a coach when you understand the psychology of athletes. Him and I sat right in this office and had a one-on-one meeting for a while. And we discussed, long before the season started, discussed a lot of those things about would he have the confidence for the physicality of football after everything he'd been through? And he really, if anything, those setbacks were driving him even harder than anybody else because of that. So instead of it being like, I'm worried it's going to happen again, it's like, I want to prove what I know I can do that I haven't been able to do yet. You know, and I think that was a big part of it.
Coming up next, we will have Coach McIntyre back previewing the life of an athletic director and the newest volleyball sport at Mount Pleasant, the boys volleyball team. It's all coming up next on the Buck 92.3 Sports Show. Now let's get back to the Coach McIntyre interview. You mentioned three-sport athlete for Xavier, track, of course, basketball, and football. Obviously, he stays busy. He stays athletic. He gets a lot of workouts in. throughout the whole calendar year. Ready for summer workouts here coming up in the summer. What does he have to do to kind of regain that shape and stay in shape to be have a good senior season?
Yeah, well, I think you started with something that I'll just kind of put my athletic director hat on for a minute here. I'm a huge believer in multi-sport athletes. And in today's world, you see more and more of the specialization, right? And even especially in football, but all sports, whether it's AAU basketball, they play year-round, do things. Like, there's a million reasons why I think three-sport athletes are so important to all our programs. One, when you focus on one sport, you only learn to compete for 3 months out of the year. The rest of the time, you're developing your skill, and you're shooting, you're throwing, but you're not competing. You're not working with someone else to try to get to a goal. You're not doing. But when you're a three-sport athlete, you're going from football trying to win a game to basketball to working with a new group of guys, and you're learning to compete. And there's something to be said about that when it comes to that next sport you play. And so I'm a huge believer in competition, whether it's playing, you know, euchre against my grandma or whatever, right? Yeah. Let's go to town. Let's beat some people, right? Like, and so I love it when we can foster that in our athletes year-round. Plus, there's tons of medical research on multi-use and single-suit use injuries, and you see it in a lot of sports where if you're doing the same kind of movement all the time, you know, you need to change that up. And in some sports, you're changed up anyways, like football and basketball. But in other sports, like volleyball, where you're jumping literally all the time, it's good to take a break. Or, you know, you're swinging a bat from the right side of the bat all the time. Maybe it's time to take a break. Like, it's good to see our kids doing our things. And so, Xavier, I promote that with all our guys. I expect it out of them in the spring. I tell them, like, we're about to start the spring season here in a couple of days. I tell them, I don't want to see you in the weight room. I don't want to see you just doing football. Like, I expect to see you on the in track, baseball. You know, we got boys volleyball this year. It's like, I'm just excited to see our guys out doing different things and compete and represent the school, and because that's really what it's all about.
Well, and that's what you said right there is the medical facts is it's been proven that multi-sport athletes do not get as injured as much as single-sport athletes. It's been proven. There's research is out there. I'm with you. I'm like, no, let's go play multiple sports, you know, if you can.
Yeah, and here's the other thing that people don't think about that I think about a lot that I think is so good about it, and I talk about this with my own children, is kids like to work on what they're good at, right? Like, I'm a good basketball player, so that's all I want to do. I want to work on it because, you know I'm not going to be the starter in football. But there's such a huge value in doing both those roles, right? Like, if you're the leader on the football team and you're the star, whatever it is, and now you've got to go be a role player in basketball or a role player on the wrestling team or whatever, you now understand your teammate in the sport you're good at who has that role you had in the other sport, right?
Yeah.
And it makes you a better leader. And so I think it's just great to learn to take on different roles and not always be the guy, right? Like, and maybe you're a good and talented enough guy that you are the guy in multiple sports, right? But, like, I think it really is a value to a kid to learn to take on different roles, and then that makes them a better leader in the sports they're strong at.
You mentioned earlier about a boys volleyball team coming to Mount Pleasant. You probably had a lot to say about that. Are you expecting a big turnout for boys volleyball this year?
I'm actually shocked at our turnout. It's amazing. Like, a big shout out to Brandy, who is, you know, our athletic assistant here and our girls volleyball coach. She's a worker and she loves volleyball. She's so passionate about it. I really enjoy working with coaches who are passionate about their sport. Not that not all our coaches are, but there's always a different level of passion for your sport. Brandy's at the top when it comes to volleyball. I mean, I've been a travel coach of hers. So she was really excited to get this thing rolling. She deserves all the credit for happening and making it happen. You know, you're always, as an AD, you're always a little nervous, right? Like, when you end a new sport, because it's another thing. It's another thing you got to deal with. It's
more scheduling.
Yeah, it's another set of parents. It's are you in conflict with other sports? Are you taking athletes from another sport that you have a good relationship with? All those kind of things you start to stress a little bit about. No, it's going to be exciting, right? Like, and we have a really good turnout. And what I see right now is it is providing a niche for kids who didn't have something else to do in the spring, right?
Yeah.
And that's really important to me is maybe, you know, I see a lot of our soccer guys that are doing this. So, like, they play soccer year-round, but they didn't have something in the spring. And so now they got, you know, a volleyball opportunity, which we just talked about the importance of that. So it's exciting. I predict, a joke for a second, that, like, normally, and we all disagree, it's just the nature of sports, but, like, in high school when there's a girls version of sport and a boys version of sport tends to be the boys version of sports a little stronger in terms of the ability to play that sport. I think it's going to be the flip around this spring. I think if our girls volleyball team was out here scrimmaging our boys volleyball team to start with, I think our boys would take a whooping. So,
yeah.
But it's going to be fun to watch and see how much they grow. But I'm not that excited about being back in the gym, I'll tell you that much, after a long basketball season, but it'll be cool. And Brandy will do a great job. And then that's why one of the big reasons I agreed to this is because we knew we had Brandy doing it.
Kind of take us through some of the responsibilities of being an athletic director, either while you're on the football field during the fall months or during the winter and spring months when you're not on the football field?
As someone who's been around athletics my whole life, I was somewhat prepared for what this job is, but I'll be honest with you, I wasn't. you know, people who don't, people, most people, it's just like parents in education. Their view of what's going on in the classroom is their, what they remember from their experiences in that, right? Or what, there's so much, what people see in an athletic director is just from the, when they see them. And when do they see them? They see them sitting in a chair, you know, bag of popcorn at a basketball game or making sure the kids are acting good, right? They don't realize the millions of other things that we do all day long before leading up to that point, right? So it's a crazy schedule. I think the best title for athletic director should be firefighter. Really what we do is we just put out fires all day, right? Whether the, and I just hope that they're small ones, right? It might be like, hey, the lights won't turn on in this corner of the gym. Okay, I can fix that, you know, but, or nothing like there's a broken down bus on the way to a district championship game, right? That would be a big fire, right? Like, but those things all happen. And so you never know what you're going to get in this job. It's extremely difficult in the fall. I mean, there's no way around it. I knew it would be. I think my ability to handle it right now is because I was here so long as the football coach prior. Like, if I was in my third or fourth year as a football coach, I could never do both. It'd be impossible. But in my, going into my 21st year as a football coach, like, I've been able, we have a program that's established, it has routines, guys know the expectations, they know the standards. I have great assistant coaches, especially Bill Dennis and Jerome Van Orman, and these guys who are in this building and can help me out, and they're all on board with this, right? I went to a lot of people when this happened and made sure I needed those guys on board with this idea. I needed Brandy on board with this idea. I needed, and so we have great fall coaches who understand what we're trying to do. And I try to just make sure they know I'm there for them all the time. And that my main job is athletic director, right? Like, football coach is awesome and it's my passion, but my job, the one that keeps food on my family's table, is athletic director, not the head football coach, right? So that's my job and I want to do it well. And so they know that I'm there for them. And it's super hard in the fall. There's a million times that white truck sits in that athletic director parking spot from 8 a.m. till 10 p.m. and never leaves in the fall. I mean, it just never leaves. And but that's what I signed up for, and it's tough. But I got great support around me, and that's why I love this school and community, right? That's why I bleed blue and gold, because people can, we can get Dan Schell, and there's not a lot of schools where the boys varsity basketball coach and the football coach get along a lot.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and see eye to eye on how things should be done. And I feel very fortunate that as much as Coach Schell and I might, I might disagree how he, you know, when he decides to press or how he runs his press break, and he might think I should have ran the ball instead of throw the ball, right? Or whatever. We agree on the philosophy of athletics. We agree on the multi-sport kids. We agree on all that stuff and how you demand accountability. And so, like, having these kind of coaches to work with is the only way I can do both of these things.
Now, are you strictly like just an athletic director, or because I know a lot of other schools have athletic directors slash dean of students. Are you just strictly athletic director?
It's funny. There's so many different ways this job is structured. And that's why a lot of people don't understand it. Right. Because everybody knows what their assistant principal did when they were in school. Right.
But the punishment guy.
Right. Yeah. Or what their counselor did, or what the teacher does. Like, everybody understands that role. This is probably the most unique role in public education, because every school structures it differently. Mm-hmm. Right. I am our district athletic director. So I'm responsible for all athletics from grade 6 to 12. We don't have a middle school athletic director.
Yeah.
So that's my secondary role outside of just high school athletic director. You know, when I was in high school in the 90s, there was a high school athletic director, and that was it, and that was their primary role.
Yeah.
But when the financial crisis of 2008 hit in education, FAIR, probably the number one thing a lot of districts looked at, like, where can we cut that we're not cutting, you know, right down to the heart, is we've got to cut athletics, right? We've got to find a way to make athletics work. So athletic directors were asked to take on a lot of different roles at that time.
I was curious if you had multiple roles.
So I'm the district athletic director. I have middle school athletics as well. That's my priority. And because we're such a large district, with, I have 65 paid employees underneath me.
Okay.
Right. I mean, an elementary school, you think about principal of elementary school, they'll have, it'd be almost the identical to what my staff would be, right? You'd have, you think I have 26 head varsity coaches, think of teachers.
Yeah.
And then I have all these paid assistant coaches, like their parapros and their assistants and their hall monitors, right? So, like, we operate like any other school building would, with an athletic director and a part-time secretary. So it's a lot, and we have over, we deal with over 700 students in our district throughout the year that we're in charge of. We have probably about 400 to 500 at a time in a season from grade six throughout. So, I mean, you think about it's, you know, things we have to manage their physicals and make sure they're compliant, right? We're communicating with parents. We're making sure a kid gets a bus trip to the game, and then we have officials for every game. I mean, that's, and we were talking before we got on air about the spring and rainouts, and the, from 8 to 3, like, it's two different jobs. That's what's so crazy. You're spending most of your time like in a management role during the day, and then you're going out and you're running the event you were talking about doing. And so it's a lot. It keeps you busy. You're never bored. You don't see your, my wife somehow got roped into being kind of the concessions chair for our boosters, and it was basically because it was the only way because she could never see me.
She's got to see you from the concession
field. Yeah, so I mean, it takes a village, right? We just talked about that. And so my family had to be on board, and I one thing that I feel bad about this job, like overall statewide moving forward, I mean, there's about 115 new athletic director jobs that open up every year. There are 12 schools in the Saginaw Valley. This is my fourth year on the job. I have more seniority at the school I'm at than every other athletic director but two. You know what I mean? It's just, there's a ton of turnover.
I've been around schools a lot. I've helped out at St. Louis High School a bunch when my kids were going there. It's a thankless job.
Yeah.
Unless you have a great community behind you, it's just a thankless job because people don't understand what you do.
Yep.
You know, they don't understand all the hours that you're putting in. And, you know, like you said, they just see you sitting around eating popcorn, watching a basketball game, or, you know. And so it definitely is a thankless job. And that's probably why you see so much turnover in the state.
Yeah, and I think it's the hours, right? Like, I mean, that's a really tough part of this job. And so I get to see my own kids that are at the high school. I have one now. There was two at one time. Like, that was part of my thinking when I took this. But I feel really bad for the athletic director who's trying to be the little league coach and has a 12-year-old, that would be really hard. I could never have done it when my kids were that age.
Yeah.
That's why I have that sign on the wall up there, the cost of leadership. So, you know, I think I try to read that every once in a while and remind myself, you know, what this job's about. And in the end, you know, we're just trying. I love Mount Pleasant High School. I love Mount Pleasant sports. I was a 3-sport athlete here. My dad coached here forever. I just want it to do well, and that's my motivation every day.
Is that your dad's name out there on the
softball field?
I thought it might be. I wasn't sure. I figured
He won over 1,000 games as a softball coach. State championship in 93, a runner-up, and he was at one time pretty much the only softball coach the school had ever had since Title IX.
Wow.
And that was only about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's pretty impressive what he did here in softball, and So, I mean, I grew up...
So, like you said, you bleed blue and gold. You do bleed blue and gold because, I mean, you went to school here. Your dad coached here forever.
Yeah.
Now you're coaching here. So.
And I just know what it takes. Yeah. Right? I know what it takes to be successful in this. And, like, you got to go out and rake the batter's box. You got to go out and chalk the field. You got to, you got to stay late and put your arm around the kid. And you got, I mean, just, and so it's like you live it. And that's what we do here right now. And it won't be forever, right? I don't know what I'll do. It'll be really weird when it's not what we're doing, but it's crazy.
The hardest part about coaching and athletic director is probably when you're seniors, like your final season, you're done with your senior year, and you got to go up and love on those guys and be like, thank you for everything that you've done for the program.
Yep.
That's got to be probably the hardest part.
Yeah, it's never easy. I think in football, probably more than anything, and the only reason I say that is that I tell everybody, it's a motivation to the kids. Football is the one sport you're never going to play again.
No.
We can all go play men's league basketball or slow pitch softball and get that kind of that little bit of that feeling of like, yeah, I was a really good shortstop in high school. I'm going to play shortstop for the slow pitch softball team, right? Like, or I'm going to short by my jumper in the men's 40 and over league, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever. But football, you're not doing it again. You're not putting the pads on again. And watching those seniors realize that, it's hard. It's hard because you remember that feeling in your head when you had it, and you know the time and effort that goes into it, and you know the finality of it. And so we try to really give them the experience that will make that really enjoyable.
What are you kind of expecting to see from your spring teams this year?
Yeah, well, this has been probably one of our best years at Mount Pleasant Civitas, just from participation, from success. Not only some football, right? Our volleyball team made it to the Saginaw Valley Championship. Brandy was coach of the year. Our swim coach, who doesn't even have our own pool, was coach of the year, and we set school records. We just won a boys basketball district, right? Coach Shell's co-coach of the year. Coach French was coach of the year, I mean, in the north, and they're playing for a district championship tomorrow, right? It's been a great season here. We had lots of accolades and lots of great things happen. So, yeah, hopefully we can continue that trend into there, right? We have huge numbers for the spring. Our boys track team last year broke 6 school records last year. and most of those guys are back, right? So I expect to see some cool things come out of boys track. Baseball had a rebuilding year last year, but our JV team was unreal. First undefeated JV team we can remember. And if we got the Apple family here, so if we're trying to remember baseball around here, it goes back, like they remember it back to the 70s, right?
And so, Luke's a great guy. He's been over and talked to me at the radio station a bunch of times.
So and
Luke's
so they know the history here to tell us that that's the only JV undefeated team they ever remember. Like, so we got some really good young players come up in our baseball program. Our softball team had a really solid year last year. We know some of the young, talented girl athletes in our school right now. And our girls soccer team last year won a district, and we have most of that team back. So we're super excited about what might be coming in the spring.
What message do you have for the fans and the community as they get ready to pack the stands, this, you know, for this coming season?
I think there'll be a lot of excitement. We're opening up with Heritage again, and we return. I mean, like, I'm usually a pessimist when it comes to football. Mm. You know, like, the season starting, I'm always kind of in coach mode, you know, and I don't know, we lost this guy, we lost these guys, you know. But you look at our roster next year, and I mean, we lost the back end of our defense, two of the best safeties I've ever had. That's going to be hard to replace. But with three returning offensive linemen, you know, quarterback, running backs back, you know, just a lot of talent. And so this is going to be excitement. I think our community will be excited. I expect to see the same support we've had. I mean, our community's been awesome when it comes to football. And it's tough in this community because CMU is, you know, like you guys all know, you go to a lot of other communities like Beale City, St. Louis, right? They're the show in town.
Yeah.
Right. They're the thing. And let's admit it. We're not in Mount Pleasant, right? Really, you know, the Chippewas are. And so, but to see everybody show up on Friday night when you still know CMU's got a game the next day or whatever, it's really cool. And to see Community Memorial Stadium packed, it's just awesome. And the feeding, the energy. And really, one of the things I'm most proud of here as an athletic director and coach is our student section is really good. And they really throw out, and we get a big group of kids. And that my favorite moment and of the year was, I think it was after either the Gale or the East Grand Rapids game. Our kids had a trophy, and they were going nuts in a huge pile, jumping up and down, not with themselves, but with our entire student section on the football field. And I just looked around, and I was like, this is awesome.
This is what it's all about.
This is what it was all about. Like, that was so cool because those kids felt ownership, just the student section, the kids in the school. And that bleeds into our school.
Yeah.
Like, it makes walking down the hallway fun for everybody. It's not about the football kids. It just makes the environment within the building better. And that was a really cool moment. So I'm hoping we can have those same kind of experiences next year.
That's good to hear. Looking forward to another spring season coming up for Coach McIntyre, Athletic Director McIntyre. Looking forward to summer workouts coming up for the football team, getting back in the locker room and the weight room. And looking forward to seeing you on the football field coming up here in the fall for another run at an SVL North title and potentially another run to Ford Field coming up. Coach McIntyre, we appreciate your time today.
Awesome. Thank you.